So we're in the middle of Kufvava Moralev, new Perek. These last two Perekim, the 13th and 14th Perekim of Zrachim, are going to be dealing with the topic, now that we dealt with where Korbanos are supposed to be brought, to how they're brought in the Beis HaMikdash and all, now these last two Perekim are going to be talking about the fact that you have in the Torah of a mitzvah, as we'll see, there are loita says, it's kares, there's whatever involved, of bringing Korbanos anywhere other than the Beis HaMikdash. That's going to be the subject of these last two Perekim. With the exception of, we'll talk about at the end, and near the end of the last parak, we'll talk about the periods when bamos were mutter, when you were allowed, and periods when you were allowed to bring korbanos outside the Mishkan or outside the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah says, Hashoshek v'hamala b'chutz, if somebody shechts kodshim outside the, and b'chutz means anywhere outside the Azorah, it could be even on the Har by itself, but it's outside the Azorah. Incidentally, by the way, also at that Shabbos table, somebody was mentioning, well, nowadays, every year, there's some outfit that brings a Korban Pesach in the old city. I said, that's impossible. I looked it up. There are, apparently, every year for the last few years, some outfit over there has been doing what they call a Q-Ghoul, a custom practice for bringing the carton paste up. But yeah, they make a whole to-do out of it. But ultimately what it is apparently, I guess what they're doing is they're not shefting it as an actual carbon. If they were declaring it a carbon and shefting it, they'd be chayav kares, as our mission is going to say. What they do is they just say sheft it. Ultimately, it's a normal shechita, and I guess they eat the meat and burn maybe carbon, burn the chaylev, I guess, or whatever. So then I'm really, it seems a little questionable, but I don't know. Apparently they had the backing of at least some rabbanim. Oh. You know, it's kind of, okay. Anyway,
I would say they should bring it and then not shecht it and say we're ready.
That could also be, yeah. Okay. Hashoshet v'amala b'chutz, somebody who shechts kodshim outside the Azara, v'hashoshet v'amala b'chutz, so he offers them outside the Azara, chayev ala shechita v'chayev ala ala, he's chayev separately for shechting them and for offering them, because there are two different things that are listed separately in the pasuk, asher yishchat, and then a few pesukim later, asher yala oila izalach. So, the point is, obviously, if we're talking, maybe did it made in chorus, a person can only get once, but here we're talking about the idea that if he does it for shogeg, he's going to be chai of two separate chatois for it, even if it was behel amecha. Rabbi Yosef says, okay, if he shechted the korban inside the azara, and then he offered it outside, then he would be chayev. But shochat b'chutz, the hell of a chutz, but if he shechted it outside the azara, and then he offered it outside, poser, then he'd be poser for the halah, shaloi hela, the double posel, because all, what was he offering? Something that's already posel anyway. Once he shechted it outside the azara, it's posel anyway, so why should he be chayev a second thing for the halah? So they told him, look, according to your logic, if you shecht it in the Azorah and then you carry it outside, you can chase the apostle, and you, and when you, as soon as you take it out of the Azorah, you're passing it, and yet you agree that you chayev a second, that the person is chayev courage for the halal b'chutz, so it shouldn't be any different if it was shechted b'chutz. Well, later on, the Gemara will deal with what Rabbi Yossi would answer to that. Similarly, digressing a minute, because we have a machloikus on a different topic, it's the same kind of structure. Hatome sha'ochal, if a tome eats kodshin, bein kodesh tome, bein kodesh tahar, whether the kodshin that he ate that were themselves tome or whether they were tahar, chayev, then also he's chayev karis, or chatas, if it was the shogeg. And again, Rabbi Yitzhak Lili says, similar to the other one, Tomei she'ochol tahor, if he was Tomei and he ate tahor korbanos, sure, chayev. The Tomei she'ochol tahor, but if he himself was Tomei and the korban is also Tomei and he ate it, poser. Shaloi ochol ala java Tomei, because after all, what he ate was Tomei, and a person wouldn't be chayev koris for that anyway. We learned earlier in the fact that Rashi brings that the whole concept of when it says tumasa ala benichasa refers to the tumasa guf. Not, it has to be tumah that could go away by going to the mikveh, which applies only to tumas haguf, not tumas baser. So therefore, he says, if the meat is tameh anyway, then why should a person be chayav kares or chatos for eating it, even if he himself is tameh? And similarly to the other one, amrulo, the chum answered him by the same logic. Tameh shachol tahor, kivin shenagavai simuhu retahor, kivin shenagavai simuhu. Nu, and if a tameh person eats tahor meat, as soon as he touches it, he makes it tameh, and yet you agree that he's chayav kares for eating it. so therefore it shouldn't be any different. Here, Tosfos points out that in principle, you could have other ways of eating it without it becoming tummy. For example, as we talked about yesterday, somebody could stick it on a stick, and then and somebody could put it on a stick, and stick it in, and stick it into his throat. But Tosfos says the fact is, the pasuk is saying generically that that a toho who ate tummy kodshin is chayev koris without specifying whether we're talking about, the pasuk says that a person who eats kodshin that a tummy is chayev koris without getting into the details of if somebody stuck it down his throat or whatever. So the implication is it applies regardless.
Right. Yeah. And what was that
Tosfos
that we had, 50 pages ago, where one person had it sticking in the other person's throat?
Well, that's what we're talking about. That may have been Nivlas. Well, we said yesterday, we talked about the connection of Nivlas Oif Tahar, but we said it doesn't really matter. With Nivlas Oif Tahar, a person doesn't actually become Tommy from touching it anyway.
Yeah. But, so I think it was having to be pure by swallowing Behemah Shenitma.
Yeah, okay.
But a shady has to stick it in with the fork into your mouth.
Well, yeah.
If you do it yourself, for some reason you would be coming.
Well, because then your nose there,
Right.
Because Behemah is like Mendrith's plate. It's a Maga. Right. There is, by the way, a good deal of discussion also among the Foshim about the question, to be high of Kodesh for eating Kodesh and Betumah, a person only has to eat a Kazayim. To be makabel truma, you have to have a kadesa. So why don't we have a more straightforward case over here instead of having Tosfos talk about the case where somebody sticks it down his throat. So one idea is that Tosfos wanted to give an example that is universally accepted. The idea about kadesa, that you have machlokes, where I've mentioned before, you have machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos elsewhere, whether you need a kibbeza at one time to become tame, or you'll need a kibbeza to transmit truma to other food. So if we say that you should have less than a kibbeza at a time to become tame, then that wouldn't work, and therefore Tosfos prefers to give an example that'll work with Chulin Alma. Okay. Anyway, so again, we brought in this argument because it's similar in structure to the other one where Rabbi Yossi argues the thing's already possible, and the Chachamim tell him, yes, but you're making it possible at the same time. In a different scenario, you're making it possible at the same time anyway, and yes. Okay. Omrlo, ach tomish achol tatover, kibin shen nogabai simuhu, as soon as he touches it, it becomes tome, and yet you agree a person is chayav koris in that case. The tahor, on the other hand, Mishnah continues, and this part of the point to everybody, the tahor sha'achol tamei, if a tahor person eats tamei meat of kodshin, potter, she'en a chayev, ala tomas aguch, he's only chayev if he himself is tamei, not if the meat is tamei. There's a lab if the meat is tamei, but it's not chiyuv koris. So the Gemara starts off. We have to figure out. We know that always when you have something in the Torah that is punishable, when you have something in the Torah that's punishable, when you have a lav, you always have an al-hara, you have some place where the Torah warns you don't do this, and then you have the punishment. So
I caught him. I saw him walking down the street.
So we're starting with the Gemara. I'm full of Gemara. Thanks, Commissioner. I can understand that we're saying a person is chayav koris, or a chatzah, for offering a korban outside the Beit Hamikdash. And by the way, offering, there is some discussion. Does offering involve putting it on a mizbeach? Does it involve lighting it on fire? Or does it involve both? So for example, if you were to have one person check the korban outside the Beit Hamikdash, let's say, and another person puts it on the mizbeach, and a third person lights the fire, so the one who's shoresh that we know is going to be, another one who's shoresh that we know is going to be chayav koris. Among the ones who put it on the mizbeach or light the fire, which one of them, or maybe both of them, are going to be chayav koris? That's a question.
Kind of like the Rambam or the Gemara where it says about one person with the fire, one person.
Right. Well, they're different with Hilchos Shabbos because you need all of them to be involved with the bishul. Here, the question is, what's the definition of halah? Is the definition of halah putting it on a mizbeach, or is the definition of halah lighting it on fire, or maybe both?
Okay.
Anyway, so that's a discussion among the farshim that we don't have in the Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara thought, bishul and halah. I can understand when it comes to offering a korban on a mizbeach. outside of this mikdash. You have the pasuk tells us the punishment, kari, and it also tells us a warning, which the warning, first of all, tells us that you're not allowed to do that. Second of all, Rashi points out the importance of the warning is that without it, a person is not going to be chayav chatas, or if he does it for shirgi. Tosfos gets into a long discussion of that. Tosfos says maybe not necessarily. You could say that a person is chayav chatas either without that, but a person wouldn't be chayav malchus for it without an azhara, Tosfos says. So therefore, the Gemara is seeking to find where the azhara is, to say that if they were to give him, in general, anything that a person can be chayav chatas for, if they give him hasra, that he could be chayav malchus, then he will get malchus, and we have to know where the azhara for that comes from. So by halacha, fine, you have that. The punishment, because you have the pasuk says, the person brings the korban, and he doesn't bring it to Pesach Oyel Moed, so the pasuk says he gets karbis. As Torah, and you have the warning elsewhere in the Torah, in Parashas Re'eh, the pasuk says, be careful for yourself, that you don't offer your oilus anywhere other than the Beis Mikdash. The chihad the amr of Abin, amr of Elazar, and how do we see that he shama l'chok and constitutes a lav? Because like what Rav Abin says in the name of Rav Elazar, kol makam shenem he shama pen ba'al, wherever the Torah uses the word he shama, be careful, or pen, left, or al, don't, eina el a loisese, all those constitute a loisese, so he shama l'chok pen ta'al loisese, is a loisese.
Any one of them,
because here you only have two, he shama l'chok pen ta'al, yeah. But yeah, it would be, it would be also if you only have one of them, for example, yeah. Okay. So when it comes to, again, when it comes to halal, no problem. We have the azhara in Parashas Re'eh, we have the onesh in Parashas Achrayim. Good. El Shchita.
Does Hishamar and Pen always come together?
No. Hishamar, Pen, Va'al, those are three different expressions. The Torah may use the word Hishamar. Well, right, Pen Tikta Shamalaya, for example. Yeah, but you have that, for example. But you have, for example...
It doesn't say Yishama then.
No, right. But, and for example, you have Yishama B'nega Saraf, which is a lab not to cut off or destroy Simone Tuma of Saraf. So yeah, any one of these three words by itself can be a lab, yeah. Okay. Ela Shchita. Yishlema Oynesh. But how about Shechem, the carbon outside the Beit Mikdash? When it comes to the Oynesh, fine. It says clearly, it says that a person shechts it, then he gets covered. But where does the Torah explicitly warn us not to do that? Which again, according to Rashi, we would need the Azhara to tell us that he's chayav achatzos, and according to Tosfos, we need it to tell us that he's chayav malchus. The answer is Omakra, because you have a pasuk in that same section. This is all in Parashat Achrimot, in the middle. You know, you have the beginning of Achrimot, I'm very familiar with, because what we would lay in Yom Kippur morning. The end of Achrimot, I'm very familiar with, because what we lay in Yom Kippur afternoon, the Parashat Araya. The middle part over there is less well known. This is the middle part that we're dealing with over here.
This is after the
Ashayishchat Shoria Kesiva is, a few psukim, a couple of psukim later, at the end of that section, the pasuk says, well, the pasuk says they should no longer sacrifice their korbanos to the Irim, to the demons. So therefore, so we learn from that that you're not allowed to shech outside of this message. So give before we shech
it. It
is out there, but it's all in the same section. You know what? Let me go grab a chumash vayikra from the shelf over here. It'll help. Part number one, ish mideis Yisrael, asher yishchat, so here we're talking about shechting, shoreh ketzavah ez b'machne, or asher yishchat mechut b'machne, v'al petach ha'yom o'ed lo'yaviyah, you didn't bring it before the petach ha'yom o'ed to bring it to the korban, like the korban Hashem, this name is Hashem, dom yichoshu v'yishahu, dom shochach, he's considered a murderer, v'nichrat v'yishahu mekerem amoy, and he gets karis. What's the purpose? L'man asher yaviyah b'nei Yisrael, in order that b'nei Yisrael should bring up his chayim, their korbanat Hashem zeh kum apnei asada, which up until now they've been shechting out in the field, They have Hashem instead. They should bring them to Hashem. A pasach harumayid al akayin. The zav who zis cheshlamim Hashem arutzim. They should offer them to Hashem as shlamim. The zav akayin to dalam is a chasam pasach harumayid. They can hail the echon of Hashem. The lo yizbuchu oydas zibchehem. They should no longer sacrifice their pavonis, what's the irim to the demons, Hashem zayin machrein, which they've been straying after. Chukas olam tiyazot lahem v'deroytem. This is the law for all eternity. That's section number one about shchita. Then comes section number two. Then comes section number two. About halah, valei and time, you should tell the yidden, ish ish and basis yom and agesh and yazil b'sechem, asher yale oylo zavach, who offers an oylo zavach, meaning that he puts it on a mizbeach and or burns it, v'al patach ha'omered le'yien, u'la ha'fasach l'ashem, v'nichas ahum aisha u'me'amad. There are two parts, one about shchita, one about halah. So again, the halah part we said, so in neither one, on the face of it, does it say over here you're not allowed to do that. It just says, the person does it, he's chayav kares. So that you're not allowed to do the halah that we said we learned from Pasuk in Parashas Yireh, Yisham of the Chav and Halah, etc. But it doesn't say anything over there about not shechting korbanos outside of this mikdash. So that's what we're trying to figure out. So we're saying we're learning it from the lo yizbuchu oid. That constitutes a lo yizbuchu.
All of a sudden, because they're doing it outside,
it's considered to be with the earring and the rabbanos. Well, that's what we're going to say on Amud Beis. That a person brings korbanos outside of this mikdash, it's the equivalent of doing it out in the sodeh. So, yeah. And you have, I mean, all the that talk about the idea, and the Sefer Achinuch and whatever that talk about the idea of bringing korbanos other than into this mikdash. One idea, and among the many ideas why you're not supposed to, is because yes, to bring them outside of this mikdash where you don't have gilu shchina as much is likely to lead a person down the path of eventually bringing them to Avodah Zarah. Historically, you see that over and over in the time of the first Beis Mikdash. Over and over, the Pasuk tells us, Oga Omba Zabkun and Makatrim Babama, even though the various kings of Yehuda tried to stop it, or until Yoshio, they finally managed to stop it, and what happened from there? They very easily slid into Avodah Zarah. See? Okay, so we're saying the Lo Yizbuchu Oid is the Azhara, not the Shecht outside, not the Shecht Tobonus outside of Beis Mikdash. The problem with that is, Haimi Boilel Chidra Balazar. We need that topic with all you before you teach us what Rabbi Lazar says in a whole different context. To Omar, where he says in Sanhedrin, how do we know if a person checks an animal in honor of Melchulus or some other Avodah Zarah, that he'd be chayev, even though that's not the normal way of worshipping it, and even though, as Rashi points out, the usual way of worshipping Melchulus is with Vizayin, usually you throw rocks at it. And normally a person throws rocks at it. Nevertheless, here a person is doing it derech kavod. How do we know that he's chayav? How do we know that he's chayav for that? He's chayav for that, the usual thing, the stealer or chorus or chatas, as the case may be. Dichtiv lo yizbuchu oid as ifchayem, because the Pasuk says they should no longer offer their sacrifices, track their sacrifices to the demons, meaning the getchkes. And therefore, he says, in eina inin l'kidaka. Now, you don't need that Pasuk to tell us that if a particular Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped by shechting animals, that a person should be chayav for it. Obviously not. Dichtiv, because you have a Pasuk. Again, in re'ei, eichayav, do you have a person is not supposed to say, how do the goyim worship their getchkes? I want to do the same thing. So that's where we learn that worshipping Avodah Zarah in the normal way of worshipping it makes the person tired. So we don't need the positive of the law used before to teach us that same concept again. Therefore, Sineiwin in the Shalai Kedarka. Therefore, we have to say that positive of the law used before is talking about even when it's Shalai Kedarka. Again, even when it's miraculous, when you usually worship with Bizoyan, and here you worship, and here a person is worshipping it in an honorable way by shechting a carbon for it, nevertheless, he's tired for it. So you need the lawyers before to teach us that concept. You don't have it available to teach us that a person checks korbanos outside the Beis Mikdash is chayav. The answer is Amar Rabba Kori Beis the lawyers b'chu v'Kori Beis the lawyers oy. Fine, but you actually have the expression in the pasuk is the lawyers b'chu oy. They should no longer sacrifice. Therefore, you can break that down into two phrases: the lawyers b'chu, which means they shouldn't sacrifice, which is where we learn that a person is not allowed to shecht korbanos, that a person is chayev for shechting korbanos to Avodah Zarah, whether it's the normal way of worshipping them or not. The koridei v'loy oid. Also, you can break it down and say v'loy oid. Or the other way around, Rashi says, actually. If we just wanted to learn a v'lozer's din, you would just say v'loy oid as zivcheihem l'se'irim. No longer should their sacrifices be going to se'irim. And from that, we would learn that a person who sacrifices to Merkulus would be chayev. The fact that it says v'lo yizbuchu also teaches us that it's coming as a continuation of what we were talking about, a person shech korbanos outside of this mikdash is chayav kares. So therefore, we can't apply the yud b'u to the lav that goes along with that yitzchakaris. The loy oid would teach us that a person is makruf karbanas tabed azarias. The loy yud b'u would teach us that a person is also not allowed to be makruf to shech them outside the Beit Hamikdash. The question, though, is, okay, but still, we need the word below Yizbahu to teach us yet a different word. Namely, what we learn in a Braisa as follows. Now, within those sukkim over there, let's break down again. You have the Pasuk starts by saying, Asher yishchat shor etzeh va'ez v'machna, oy asher yishchat mochot v'machna, ve'al patach oy amoyed lo yaviyah. So, on the face of it, those first few pesukim apparently are talking about korbanos, where to begin with, when the person was makdish them, they were meant to be offered on the mizbeach in the mishkan. So we're saying that he takes the shurda kesev ha'ez, which was supposed to be offered in the mishkan, and instead he shechs it in the machna. Then we're saying he gets korbanos. What about, though, you don't see from those sukkim about the case where, let's say, he could have been makdish it before the Mishkan was ever built, where then he would have been mutter to be makdish of it wherever he wants. Now comes after the Mishkan is built, now you're only supposed to be makdish of them in the Beit Hamikdash. You don't clearly see from these first few sukkim that we're talking about that. So the Braisa says, in fact, you have two separate groups. So the Braisa says like this, Adkan, up until here, the first few sukkim of that parrot, are talking about these are kodshim where the person was makdish then after bamos became also, namely after the mishkan was set up. The kriyon b'shat isra bamos, and then he goes and makruv them elsewhere in the machna outside the mishkan. And the reason, and in those cases, Shari Oinshon Omer. Now, the reason why we would assume the Pasuk is talking about specifically of those, because with those you have a clear statement of punishment in these Pesukim, where it says, El Pesach Oyomoyed, it says, you didn't bring them to Pesach Oyomoyed, implying these are ones that he was expected to bring to Pesach Oyomoyed, because to begin with, when he was makdish them, Pesach Oyomoyed already existed. And that, so therefore, we're telling him that he's not allowed that he's chayav koris if he doesn't do that. And Azhara, just if you shum the Chapantala or Sefa, and again, you have a warning not to do it, because you have the positive in paragraph where A, don't offer your korbanos anywhere other than the Makam Asher Yivka Hashem. Mikan Ve'elach, but then when the Pesukim continue, L'man Asher Yivyu, B'nei Yisrael, Asher beginning from Pasuk Heya, for there, where it says, in order that B'nei Yisrael should bring their korbanos, which up until now, they were shechting in the field, that's talking about a different case. What do you mean they were shechting them in the field? Why were they shechting them in the field? Because this zvachim sheikdishim v'shat heter abomus, here we're talking about korbanos, where he was makdish them while bomus was still mutter. So a person was makdish an animal for a korban before the mishkan was built. And then the kriven v'shat isra abomus, but then he didn't get around to bringing it on his own private boma out in the field before the mishkan was built. Now the mishkan has been built, and the pasuk is saying that Asher Heim Zovchim, this is a korban which would have been shechted out in the fields, and it would have been perfectly fine too if he had done it right away. But since he didn't, now now instead he has to bring it to the Beit Hamikdash, to Mishkan or the Beit Hamikdash, as the case may be. So therefore, so that's what we're talking about, a separate case over here where there was makdish them when bomis were mutter, and he was makdish them the Shas Israel bomis. In order that Bnei Yisrael should bring their korbanos, which they're shechting, meaning zvachim sheitarzu l'chokvar, meaning these are korbanos where already there was previously a heter to shech them outside the Mishkan, because the Mishkan didn't exist yet. But now the Mishkan has been built, and I'm giving you a new issur. Hashem says you're not allowed to shech them outside the Azara. And when the pasuk continues, al pnei achzadeh, it continues that the person shechs them in the field. Loy malach to teach you how they veach the shach isur habamos. The person shechs the carbon outside the Beit Hamikdash when bamos. So also mala all of our kosev here the hikruv al pnei achzadeh. The pasuk considers it as if he offered them just out in the field, not in Hashem's name. It's as if he just plain shechted them, not as a korban. And in fact, the pasuk goes further. The pasuk says on it, "Dom yechashav v'yishav dom shafach." We consider the person a murderer. because you're entitled to shecht karbanos. You're entitled to shecht animals for constructive purposes, to eat them or to bring karbanos or whatever. But here, a person is shechting it for not a constructive purpose. Then the Torah considers it as if he committed murder. Well, it doesn't matter. The point is just the fact that he's shechting it. We're talking about just the fact that he's shechting it, even and again, here we're talking about even he was mafkish it as an olo or what have you before the Mishkan was even built. And therefore, if he had brought it right away, he would have been perfectly entitled to bring it anywhere he wanted, out in the field. But now the Mishkan is built, Hashem is telling him you're not allowed to do that anymore.
So besides for killing the animal for no reason, or because it's not a good korban, has the right
to? Well, that no. If he had brought it to the Mizbeah, if he had brought it to the Mishkan, it would have been a perfectly good korban.
And if he would have brought it to the Bama
for
the Mishkan.
And if he had brought it to the Bama, right. If he had brought it to the Bama for it, it would have also been fine. The problem is that now it's still alive when the Mishkan is built, and he now wants to say, well, I originally was Makdash it. I intended to bring it out in the field, so now I'm going to go ahead and do that. Plus, it's telling you can't do that.
They probably really have the tent on a slippery basis.
Well, when the Mishkan was first built, everybody is gathered all together over there. They were in a machna 12 by 12 amas. It's not like anybody didn't know the Mishkan hasn't just been built. Yeah. But, you know, mind you, by the way, I mean, you have, of course, we know once the Beis Mikdash was built in Yerushalayim, then Bamas became Osir. But this that I was just mentioning, they have over and over in Malachim that it's said and that it mentions that people were still offering on Bamas. And this that you also have, for example, that Yerovam put up his Egle Azov and had people bringing Karbanos outside the Beis Mikdash. One idea of it is, that I've seen an explanation, that Yerovam managed to, with his propaganda and all, he managed to convince people that the Beis Mikdash is not necessarily the Makom HaShem Yivchar Hashem. It's a temporary place, like Noi was, like Yivon was, or whatever. It's a bummer. It should still be Moser. And people bought that argument. Because after all, the Torah didn't spell out. The Torah never, not once in all of Chumash, does it ever mention the name Yerushalayim. It always just says over and over, I'm Makom HaShem Yivchar Hashem. So Yerovam, with his propaganda, was able to convince people that Yerushalayim is not necessarily it, and therefore Bamas is still Moser. And therefore, even in Malchus Yehuda, some people bought that argument, and therefore they were continuing to offer on Bamas, and then until finally Yoshio got rid of that. I guess not quite the same thing, because there's no Issa Lav and Issa Kores in the Davening at home. Yeah. There's a lot of reasons that are given, but whatever it is, the fact of the matter is it doesn't, and that gave an opening for Yerovam to get. Okay. Okay.
It does say it's not.
Yeah, of course.
Which separates us from
certain other religions.
That don't
yeah.
say.
Indeed. All right. Awesome. Okay, then the Braisa continues. The Braisa is analyzing the Sukkim over here. Okay, so we mentioned what the Lamana Shigavir B'nai Yisrael of Tivchayim is referring to, is Karbanos that were already Mukdash as Karbanos before the Mishkan was built. We said Afneya Sada means that now a person offers them outside the Mishkan as if they just offered them in the Sada, not for Hashem. And the Pasuk continues there, Vium LaShem, they should bring them to Hashem, Zumitzatese, so that constitutes a mitzvah tasei, to bring such karbanos to the Mishkan. Loisatseminai, and where do we know there's also a loisatse? Talmud Loimar, and here's the point, which is why we're quoting this braisa, because the Pasuk continues, V'loi Yizbuchu Oid, they should no longer shech. So therefore we see that the words V'loi Yizbuchu Oid are talking about that specific case. We have kodshim that were declared, there's kodshim that were designated before the Mishkan was built. How do we know it applies generically to, how do we know it also applies to kodshim that were designated after the Mishkan was built? Continues the braisa, yachol yehi onush koris. Okay, so you would think in that case the person is chayav koris for those korbanos that were designated before the Mishkan was built, and then a person is being makir with them outside the Mishkan afterwards. No, the pasuk finishes off over there. This should be a rule for you for all eternity. And the word zois is a mute. The meaning zois lahem l'doros, v'loy zois lahem, zois lahem, v'loy acheres lahem. Meaning only this for them, not something else. So Rashi explains it means only this, the esser that we just said, the esser and the loisa the hevium and the hevium and the loyus b'chord, but not the kores which is mentioned in earlier pesukim. So anyway, the point is we see from that braisa that the loyus b'chord is limited to a specific case. where you have korbanos that a person was makdish before the Mishkan was built, and then the Mishkan was built, and you have to be makdish them in the oil mode, where we're saying that if a person is makdish them outside, he doesn't get kares for that. All he's over on is an essay and a voice essay. So he'll get malchus, but not kares, and he wouldn't bring a chatas for his b'shoshim. But the point is, we don't have a lab for the more general case where a person was makdish after the Mishkan was built, and he wants to be makdish after the Mishkan is built. So we're still back to, where do we know that from? Kares, it says in the Pesukim, sure, in the first few Pesukim over there, it says, but we're still searching for the lab. So we tried to say we're learning it from the Loyiz Bechoid, but now we're saying the Loyiz Bechoid is talking about a different case. So that doesn't work. We said that first. He said that the oid over there refers to that a person is chayev for shechting korbanos from the zar. Then we're saying now in this last braita that we just quoted that the lo yizbahu is talking specifically about korbanos that a person was makdish before the Mishkan was built.
Right.
But now we're still searching for where do we see the lav for korbanos where a person was makdish after the Mishkan was built. El Amar of Oven Kavachon. Sort of Oven says, or Abaya, I've got the back wings on the side over here, says, you can make a Kavachon. Uma b'mokim shalai onash. Madach in a case where the Torah does not punish a person with kares, namely most lavim, his hair, and yet the Pasuk warns us not to, not even most cases. Here we just said in this braisa that if a person was makdish with one of these korbanos that where he was makdish them before the Mishkan was built, we're saying that if he's not supposed to bring it outside the oil moed, but if he does, he's not chayav kares, he's only over on an esa and a lois esa. And there you have an azhara, so there you have the word v'lo yizbechoy. So madoch in a case where there's no oynish kares, his year, yet the Torah is warning us don't do it, and if you do, you chayav malchus. Mokum sha'onash. So then, when the Torah, a case where the Torah actually imposes the penalty of kares, namely where it was makdish before the Mishkan was, after the Mishkan was built, aided in shehizir. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that the Torah warns them not to do it? In other words, that the veloyiz b'chor is referring to both. Now, the Gemara is later going to ask that you can't do an azhara. You can't do either lab from a kavachomer. So we'll get back to that. But for the moment, first we have a question. That's what we're going to get to. Back to that at the bottom of the offer. But before we even get to that, we have a more basic question. So Ravina asks Rav Ashi like this. So you're telling me, Rav Ovin or Abaya, that the Torah does not have to spell out a lav. The Torah does not have to spell out a lav for this case of Shchut Echut, because you can learn it from the other case of Shchut Echut. And because this one involves kares. But by the same logic, in Kemlo, you're in a lav the chalev. By the same logic, the Torah does not have to tell us a lav that you're not allowed to eat chalev. The taste is havachomim and avela. By the same logic, you should be able to learn, once it says kares by chalev, and it says a lav not to eat an avela, you should be able to learn a havachomim in the same way. Man avela shalei onash, madach an avela where there's no if there's kares to eat an avela, just a lav, just malchus. He's here, and the Torah warns you, lo yisoichu kol nevela. Chalev, sha'onash, the chalev, where there's a penalty of kares, where the Torah says, ki kol oicho chalev, he gets kares, and it didn't say his. How much more so, we would say that there's an azhara. So why does the Torah have to spell out that you're not allowed to call chalev, but call dom, like say chalev? By your logic, it shouldn't be necessary. By Rav Ovin, by his logic, it shouldn't be necessary. Also, the Kameh Rava, so Rav Ashi said, that's a good question. So he went to Rava to ask him, what's the deal over here? By the way, you have the famous Gemara in Kiddushin that says Shemes that says Yom Shemes Rava no Rav Ashi when Rava passed away, Rav Ashi was born. In which case, how would this be possible? How is Rav Ashi coming and asking by Rava? But among the various answers are, besides the possibilities of different Geosaurus over here, there's also according to the Rambam, the Gemara doesn't mean over there that literally that on the day Rava passed away, Rav Ashi was born. It means before Rava passed away, Rav Ashi is already born and ready and growing up to be a great Talmud Chacham. So therefore,
they must have been very young so then, because in the whole generation of Rav Ashi, there was no one like him.
Well, yeah, but that's the sort of Torah of Gula Malkum Ahmad, right? Yeah, that's true. But
so he wouldn't have to ask someone.
Well, but when he was younger, of course, he had to ask. When we're talking about in his own generation.
Said in in the whole
generation. No, it doesn't mean from when he was born. Jabba Melech from when he was born also. He only became king when he was 30.
Yeah, but he had in his generation someone in his generation.
We're talking about Yirah Yehiri, how Yehoyim Ladovit, after Ladovit became king. We're talking about when Rav Ashi became Rosh Hashiva, until he passed away, there was no equal to him. But Rav Ashi himself still had to, he wasn't born Rosh Hashiva, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't born with a white beard.
Yeah, but in terms of the Seder, in terms of the Seder Azmanim, Rav Shura Goin, in the Geras Rav Shura Goin, tells us that from when Rava passed away until when Rav Ashi passed away, is about 75 years. So Rav Ashi could have been 20, 25 years old when Rava passed away and lived to 100 or so. So it could work out if one's the Seder Azman.
Sure.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. So also Kamed to Rava. So he comes to Rava on the lay, and Rava answers him the reason why the Torah couldn't do that, why it couldn't just depend on the lav of Nevela to tell him that there's a lav of Chalev, because Nevela Nami Lahasi, you can't learn Chalev from Nevela. Because if you tried to make such a kabbalchaymer, you'd then be able to slug it up. Mava nevela shekem atame. Consider a nevela has a chumra over chaylev. A person touches a nevela, he becomes tame. A person touches chaylev, he doesn't become tame. And even if the chaylev comes from a nevela, by the way, the Torah says chaylev nevela, chaylev shereifa, you're also a chumlocha. Yeah. So you can't say so wouldn't work. Okay. He asks, what about Mishrotin Tmeim? What about Mishrotin Tmeim? Fine. Why don't we try to learn from Mishrotin Tmeim, the Shemona Shrotin? Again, same idea. In other words, a person eats them, and there's only a lab, there's no Kareis. We should be able to learn from that a Kavachoyim or Techelev, where there is Kareis. And there's an Azar over there, right? Again, the answer is, Mala Shrotin Tmeim, Shemitam and Mashu. Okay, but Shrotin Tmeim, I'm a Tamei, the Mashu, not literally the Mashu, Tadosha, actually, right. Mala Shrotin, yeah, Shemitam and Mashu, yeah, it's not literally a Mashu, it means actually a Tadosha, but relative to a Kazayas, a Tadosha can be considered Mashu. What? Another Tadkomo, exactly. Okay, what about Mishrotin Tahorim? Fine, why don't we try to learn from Mishrotin Tahorim? Any other creepy crawlies other than the Shemona Shrotin? Snake, bugs, worms, etc. Well, those things are not Matame, a person. Okay, but the answer is Mala Shrotin Tahorim, she is on the Mashu. Okay, but the issue of them is the Mashu. But Rashi explains that means the same way as we say that the Shrotin Tmeim, the tumor of them is in a Kadosha, the same way when it comes to Shrotin Tahorim, ants or other bugs or snakes or whatever, a person would be high of Kares. Wait, that's Tosis. Rashi says it would be a Kadosha. Same thing as the Shir Truma. For Shrotin's name would be the Shir Achila for Shrotin's Dehoi. Tosis points out that's not the case. What it is actually, Tosis wins on the basis of a Gemara in Me'ilah. Well, yes, the Gemara starts by assuming that, but then the Gemara ends up saying over there that no, with the Shrot and Totem, it can be even less than that. The Tosfos says, we're talking about a berry over here, yeah, that if a person eats one ant, he's chayiv malchus for it, even if it's far less than a kadosha or a kedai. Rashi didn't talk about the beautiful Zevach, I think talks about that Rashi may understand that Gemara and Hilah differently, and say that conclusion is only according to one opinion, but not according to everybody. Anyway. The point is, again, that Shrotim Tahorim have a Chumra over Chalev. A person eats far less than a Kazayas of them, and he's any Chayev. Say, what about Me'orla the Kalayah Kerem? Why don't we learn from the lab of eating Orla and Kalayah Kerem to Chalev? And the answer is, Ma'la Orla the Kalayah Kerem, she can't have Hanah. Yes, but they have a Chumra because they're also the Hanah. Chalev is not. So again, you have a Sam Chumra in them that you say that you could slug up the Kalachumra. What about Mishriyas? You want to learn from Shriyas? Now, what do we mean by Shriyas, by the way? We mean, The Rashash points out, we can't mean the issue of working during Shavuot. If that's the case, why are we mentioning that? You have 613, you have 365 lav in the Torah, and there's no reason to pick Shavuot over any others. So he says, obviously, we have to be talking about eating Shemitah fruit at a time when it's also, like after beer. And he says, it's a very hard time figuring out exactly where you have a lav in the Torah not to do that. There's some discussion among Achronim about it. Do we learn it from Lois Soichal called Te'eva? The positive tells us anything, Dover Shisi Alfilach, anything which is off limit, there's an automatic lab against eating it. Or are we maybe learning it from the Chisem Manuch of Ashkan Ashvi, a pain like Nizra, but like Nesto, implying that there is that the Maharsham says this one, that the fact that the Torah says that a person will ask, what are we going to eat in Shemitah when we're not allowed to plant and we're not allowed to gather in our produce, that implies a law against gathering it and keeping it past the time of the year. Anyway. So the question is, Malashvius, you can't take that. So the answer is, Malashvius, you can't take that as a mayor. Okay, but Shemitah has a Chumrah, or Shvius food has a Chumrah over most things, over most involving food, in that it's toifus, the value of it. As we've learned before, that if you take Shemitah food and trade it for something else, if you trade it with money, for example, that money also has Kedushas Shvius. And if you trade the money for something else, then something else has Kedushas Shvius, etc. So, unlike most Yisurim. Hey, what about Mitzruma? What about, you're going to say, learn from Truma, where there's a lav not to eat it, and there's a lav not to eat it, and there's Mitzvah Gedei Shemayim, not Kares, for eating it, so we'd say, Kavachoyim Rechachayim. Okay, we'd say, Shekein Lehutra Mitzvola. Okay, but Truma, there's no exception to it. A Koyin, only a Koyin and his immediate family can eat Truma. There's never any exception where a Zor can eat Truma. As opposed to Chelev, you do have an exception in the sense that Chelev of Ochaya is Musa.
Oh, yeah.
The same exact pieces of the animal would be also from a cow or a sheep or a goat, but a Musa from a deer or a gazelle or a buffalo or what have you. So, as opposed to Truma, is always also to Zonim. Okay, now that we have that point, we could say actually that applies across the board. We don't even need all these individual answers from the Kamin and Shikunim Mashu and all those things. All the things we just mentioned have no exceptions. There's never an exception where you're allowed to eat Nevela or Sheret Tahar or Orla or Kalayachem, etc. As opposed to Chela, the person can eat Chela of Achaya. So therefore, so Rava shoots each one of those down and says, that's why the Torah had to tell us a specific Isser by Chelev. You couldn't have learned it from any of these other ones. But each one of them, you could slug up the Kalachem. However, Omar Rava, so Rava says in this connection, Ikashali Hakashali. Fine. If I'm going to have a question in this connection, my question is rather as follows. Fine. The question that you're saying, that Ravina and Rav Ashi are bringing up about Chelev, that's not a question because we can easily dispose of that. But Rava says, now that you're mentioning it, I do have a question in this regard. Hodichnan, this that we learn, now we learn in the first Mishnah of Christus, it lists the 36 Christus in the Torah, 36 things that a person does that make him chayav kares, and it says, Pesachul milah mitzvas eser, it says that out of those 36, two of them not bringing the korban pesach and not having a bris milah are mitzvas eser. There's no lois eser involved with that. Well, by the logic we just said, why not? Case of a kavachomer in Moses. Why don't we learn by a kavachomer from leaving over from a korban? Where leaving over from a korban is like those, as Tosfos points out, because it also does not involve a meisah. It's a lav she'en be meisah. Like not bringing a kred pesach and like not bringing a milah. So you should argue this by the same logic. Ma moisu shalit onash, madach leaving over from a korban, where there's no issur korban for that, his here, and yet the Torah warns us like they sit in menu unbreaker, and therefore the lav.
You don't get
a person doesn't get karis for leaving over from a korban past the time. Yet he's here. Yet the Torah warns us that a person that yet the Torah warns us not to do it. And in fact, he's not high of malchus for it because the law shein me'maisa, but the law exists. So pesach umila sha'onash. Well, then pesach and the mila, where there is an onash of karis, and it didn't change here. Shouldn't we say that there's a kavachomer that by a kavachomer there is a law? Why is the Mishnah saying over there there's no lav involved with Pesach and Milah? By the logic we just used, you should say there is an implicit lav in them, the fact that there's Karis. Ravashi, Amrit l'shmaita tamei de Rakhana. Ravashi says, I told over this discussion to Rakhana, who was one of Ravashi's Rebbes. But Amali, and he answered me, mi moisu lo'asya. No, you can't think to learn Pesach and Milah from moisu, from leaving over from a korban. Because you could slug up. If you tried to make such a kavachomer, you would slug it up. Malam moisir shekein ein lo chakana. Consider, when it comes to moisir, there's a way, you were moisir, you left over from a korban. Okay, but there's a way of fixing it up afterwards. Moisir ein lo chakana. Shekein ein lo chakana. There's no way of fixing it up. Yes, you have the lava mitzvah for eser, that once a person left over from a korban, then he has a mitzvah associated with mitzvah saseh to go and burn it. But the fact is, once he left it over, he can't unleave it over. It's a done deal. How do you compare it to the korban pesach, where there is a takana? A person doesn't bring a first pesach, he brings a pesach sheni. Person didn't get a milah, he can get a milah at some later point in his life. As long as he's alive, of course, right. But the point is, there's always, in fact, the Rambam actually learns that when we say that a person is chayav milah, that when we say a person is chayav kardes for not having a bris milah, the Rambam learns what it means is, he becomes chayav kardes at the end of his life. He didn't have a bris milah. Up until that point, you can't say he's chayav kardes, because any time you can go ahead and have a bris milah. The Ravid over there disagrees with that. The Ravid says what it means is every day he's chayav kardes until he has a bris milah. But the fact is, even the Ravid agrees that eventually, once he has a bris milah, the kardes goes away. You can undo what you did wrong, as opposed to with moisture. Once it's left over, then it's left over, and there's no going back on that. So therefore, so Rav Kahana says, therefore you can't think to say that Pesach and Milah should involve a loisah, because they're not like moisture in that regard. Okay. So now that we dealt with that whole side issue, now we have to get back to the main point. We said, so what are we saying? We're saying that we're learning the Azhara from a Kavach Chomer. Madach, when it comes to the second kind of Shechut Echot, the kind where we were Makdish them before the Mishkan was built, where there's an Azhara but no Oynish, there's a Lav, there's an Esen, a Lois Esen, but no Karis. How much more so for the case where you were Makdish them after the Mishkan was built? That a person should be Chayef Karis. The question is, can you have an Azhara? Can you have a lab that's derived from a kavachomer? I feel them. I'm interested in that. And you know, there's an opinion we learned back in Marcus that says that when it comes to the punishment, you can derive the punishment from a kavachomer. Even according to that opinion, you can't have the azhara based on a kavachomer. Because one thing, if you have an azhara, you can say you still knew you weren't supposed to do it. Therefore, you can say that you can learn the punishment from a kavach chomer, even though you yourself might not have thought of the kavach chomer. Okay, but you knew at least you weren't supposed to do it. But if you don't even know that by itself that you're not supposed to do it except from a kavach chomer, how can you do that?
Well, the Gemara
often does it this way, but in this case, because first we wanted to deal with this logic that you're using to be able to learn an Azhara from one thing, why don't we apply it in other areas in Torah? And now, once we dealt with that, but there's no other area we can apply it to, now we're going back to, well, how can we apply it over here? So we have to say that we're not learning it from a Kabbalah. Rather, what we're doing is we're learning the Azhara for the first time of Shchut Echot, we're learning Kidur of Yechanan. Like what Rav Yechanan says, Da'omer, Asya Hava. He says you have not a Kavach Chomer, but a Gzeira Shavah. You have in Pasuk Dalet over there, which is the first kind, which is the Shchita, and it's the first kind of Shchut Echot, the kind where we makdish them after the Mishkan was built. It says Lo Hevriyo, he didn't bring it to the Mishkan. When it comes to halah, it also says lo yivi edu, he didn't bring it. Those two words come from the same shorish, and therefore we can use it, and therefore we can make a gzera shava between them. Now the difference is, Rashi points out, a gzera shava, unlike a kavach chomer, you can't be done a gzera shava by yourself. Ain't on a dumb gzera shava man, right? So a kavach chomer, a person can come up with by themselves. You can't be onish on that basis. But a gzera shava, since you can't be done it by itself, and since it is mufna, the words themselves are not needed in the pasuk, and therefore it's an unassailable zera shava. Therefore, it's considered as if it explicitly said in the pasuk, and that's good enough to be a source for an azara. A person is expected to know these things. So therefore, malahal onash elayim kenyazir. So therefore, when it comes to halah, where we have the onash of kares, and we have the azhara, we have the azhara again in parshas or eishom lacham pentala lezaka. Akam, the same thing. When it comes to shchita, lo onash elayim kenyazir. There's an onash only if there's an azhara, and you learn that from the zeder shava, not from a kavach chomer. Rava says I have a different way of learning it. Kidur Rav Yonah. I can learn it the way Rav Yonah. So Amr Rav Yonah asked you, Shom Shom. Namely, Rabbi Yonah says, never mind the psukim in Parshas Achrimos. It's true. It's hard to extract an actual law from there. Yeah, the law is b'choy, but again, we said that that applies to a specific type of kodshim. The ones we were makdish them before the Mishkan was built. Rabbi Yonah says, never mind all that. We're going to learn from the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, where it says, back to back, there in the Beis Hamikdash you should offer your olos, and there you should do everything that I commanded you, which means all the other parts of all the other things that are involved in bringing a carbon. So therefore, malahalam onash alim came here. So when it comes, so therefore, and the shum over here is not a gzera shava, it's actually a hekesh. Right there, back to back in the pasuk. The pasuk is putting together the halah and everything else. So therefore, malahalam onash alim came here. So just like when it comes to halah, there's no onash. The onash in Parshas Achrimos is based on the azhara over here, that you're not in Parshas Re'eh, that you're not allowed to offer them anywhere else. Afkan, the same thing. When it comes to shechita and all the other things that are involved in bringing a korban, all the other avodas involved in bringing a korban, loy onash aleim came to there. In order for there to be an onash, there has to be an azhara. So we learn it, unlike canon to learn it from the Zera Shava, Rava says, like Rava brings from Rav Yona, that we're actually learning it from the fact that the Torah itself puts together, that the Torah itself, right there, back to back, puts together Shom Tala, the step of the Shom Tasa, implying that there's a hekish, that there's a comparison between Halah and all the other avodas. So therefore, what applies to one applies to the other, and therefore in both cases you have an onesh, and in both cases you have an azhara. Ashkechon muktere pnim shehela machu. Fine. The Gemara says, fine. So in that case, that takes care of the case where you have a korban that was shechted inside the azhara, and muktere pnim means that it was going to be burnt bifnim, inside the Azara. It was shechted in the Azara, and therefore the normal thing is it would have been burnt in the Azara, and now we're talking about, let's say, a person Shehel or Machus, he takes them outside the Beis Mikdash and burns them over there, and then offers them over there. So we see from these stukim that a person has, that there's an Azara, and a person has Chayav Karis for that. Mukturechus Shehel or Machus Minayin, how do we see that it also applies if he shechted them outside the Azara, and now is going to burn them outside the, and then now is going to offer them, burn them, whatever, outside the Azara, where we had actually Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and we had Rabbi Yossi Aglili arguing in our Mishnah that a person should in fact be potter in that case, because it was already potter as soon as he shechted outside the Azara. And the Chum disagreed with him, and even Rabbi Yossi Aglili agrees that there's an issue involved, he just says there's no karis. But where do we see that? Where do we see that concept from? Amrakana, Amakra, Ba'alehem Tomar, because the second part, the second part about how law was, starts off with the word Ba'alehem Tomar at the beginning of the Pasuk says, which means Al Hasmuchim Tomar. It means regarding the ones that we just talked about, it says that if a person offers them outside the business, that she's Chayav Karis. Meaning, what's Aleihem, what's described in the first few psukim over there, which is Shotechot, we shechted them outside the Azara, and now it continues, Ba'aleihem, and regarding them, Tomar, you should tell the Jewish people that even such things, which are shechted outside of the Beis Mikdash, if a person is then masked with them outside of the Beis Mikdash, he's also Chayav Karis, or Chas. Masked for Rava, so Rava asks on that, what do you mean? Nifti va'alehem with an ayin? It doesn't say va'alehem with an ayin, meaning and on them. Va'alehem with an aleph, which means you should speak to them, to the Jewish people. So what are you telling me? That you mean that pasuk ches and that pasuk ches, tes, and yoda referring back to the first few psukim? It doesn't say va'alehem and regarding them. It says va'alehem to them, to Aaron and his sons and Bnei Yisrael, you should tell the following thing. Ela to the Tanan Vera Bishmal, no, we have to say the reason is, like Tanan Vera Bishmal said, when it says Va Aleihem Toma with the Vav, it means La'arif Parshias. It means to combine together the two Parshias, the usual thing that the Gemara calls in some other places, Vav Moses of Inyan Rishin, that the Vav comes to tell us that the second part adds to the first one. So therefore it means the second one is a continuation of the first one. So again, even a person shechted it Michut Bamachne, Basoda, also, the fact that he's now taking that and being malo that outside the Azara, even though you could argue like Rabbi Yitzhak does in the Mishnah, it's already possible once he shechted it, as Korban, once he shechted it, why should he be high separately for being malo? Nevertheless, he is. Rabbi Yochanan says a different way of understanding. Afki hava. We just said before that Rabbi Yochanan says you have a zera shav, not you have a zera shav from the word hava. Lo yuvi enu and then lo yhaviya and lo yuvi enu. Therefore, malahal and muktereichot. So therefore, the second section is talking about one where there. The first section where he shechted it outside the Beis HaMikdash, is talking about one that was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, and now we're going to be awkward outside there because he already shechted them outside in the Apostle. Akan, Muktzurechut. So the same thing over here. The second part is also talking about just bringing them outside the Azara, even though they were shechted in it, also makes them Chayav Karis. So in other words, it's Chayav Karis either way. Okay. However, Rabbi Bibi asks on that. If you're going to tell me then, you're going to tell me, in effect, that there are two cases where a person can be chayav kares for being mala kodshim b'chutz. One type is where they were shechted in the azara and then taken out, and the other one is where they were shechted outside the azara, and those are two different ways in which a person can be over on halal b'chutz. The problem with that is, Chavitznan, we learn in the first Mishnah of Kriyasus, Shloisha Meshesh Kriyasus Batorah, it starts off by saying there are 36 cases where a person is Chayav Karis. One of them is Hashochet and Hamala Bachot. Now, the Gemara starts by asking over there, we ourselves can count, we can count everything it says in the Mishnah over there and come up with a number of 36. Why does the Mishnah stress that there are 36 of them? And the reason is, the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan explains over there, the reason is to teach us, let's say a person were to do all these 36 actions, the Helam Echad, in one period of unknowingness, it would be higher, 36 kafas. In other words, when the Mishnah says 36, it's going to tell us that the maximum number of kafas a person could be higher for doing the Helam Echad. If it was in separate halamas, then there's no limit. A person could eat chalim in one halam, and then another kizayis of chalim in another halam, and he's chayav two chatos. But we're talking about the halam echad, the maximum would be 36. Well, that's the point. In other words, there's no more than that. You shouldn't think that, for example, a person ate a kizayis chalim, and then ate another kizayis chalim, the halam echad, that he should be chayav two chatos. No, he's only chayav one chatos. Now Rashi points out over there, the Gemara itself asks over there, within those chayvei krisis, you have Shabbos and you have Avodah Zarah. Now Shabbos, you have 39 melachos. A person can be chayv of 39 separate chatois for being machal Shabbos. A person can be chayv of separate chatois for different types of Avodah Zarah, because you have four things. There's worship, there's shechting a korban to it, there's bowing down to it, and there's burning something in its honor, etc. So in that case, the maximum is not 36. The Gemara explains over there that actually, yes, that's true, but when it comes to Shabbos, we have the Mishnah and Shabbos, where the Gemara points out over there the same thing, that it means the maximum number of chatois a person can bring for breaking Shabbos for Halam Echad is 39, there's only 39 Avos Malachas. Similarly, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, you have the Mishnayos in Sanhedrin describe the different types of Avodah Zarah for which a person can be chayav, the four Avodahs. So the Mishnah and Krisus did not need to mention those again. The Mishnah and Krisus can tell us 36 is the maximum, meaning, in other words, with the understanding that you understand that it means that he was Machal Shabbos only in one way, and he worshipped Avodah Zarah only in one way. You're meant to understand that if it was Machal Shabbos in multiple ways, we worshipped Avodah Zarah in multiple ways, yes, he'd be chayav extra chatos for those. It didn't mention that in Krisus, because it's relying on what we learned in Shabbos and in Sanhedrin. But Rabbi Bibi is asking, the Shalach Kodesh, by the way, points out the name is probably really supposed to be pronounced Bevi. You have a name in Sefer Ezra that's pronounced like that. Anyway, so this that you have 36, according to what you just said, that there's two types of halah that we're learning from separate stukim, one where it was shechted in the Azara and one where it was shechted outside the Azara, then in that case, plus in the Shev Havi, and then in that case, I have 37. You can't answer that the Mishnah elsewhere has stressed that there are two different things. So our Mishnah didn't stress that, so therefore it should be mentioned over there. The ikamala v'amala, namely you have two types of halah, one where it was shechted in the azara and one where it was not. What is kasha? Okay, akasha. So we said that we're learning it from the Bav of Valehim, But nevertheless, we learn according to Abishan, and we're learning from Hava, which would mean there's two separate Isurim on it. But Abivi is pointing out that in that case, on the face of it, then you should have, they should be listed separately in the Mishnah in Prisus, and they're not. But nevertheless, that is the fact, the person is Chayev, whether it was shechted in the Azara or whether it was shechted outside the Azara. Either way, when he's offering it outside the Azara, he's Chayev from it. And once it's kasha, not siokta, as usual, because it's a kasha, but it's not an unimpeachable kasha. You could answer maybe like that you were using Rabbi Yitzchak really in our mission, and we tell the person, it's not Chayev Karis in that case. Yeah. Right. Let's stop again here.